Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show with John and Hugh on this Tuesday. A little overcast, a little bit cooler. Knock that heat wave down a little bit. Not a bad thing. Football around the corner with the Falcons getting ready for the Redskins on Thursday, and we're on standby for potential news regarding Julio Jones' contract with his agent Jimmy Sexton in town today, and if anything breaks, we'll certainly pass it along to you. Braves also get ready for the Miami Marlins tonight, first of three games. One of our big questions this morning on the morning menu that's on our Twitter this morning at 929 The Game, Hugh, is whether or not you're okay if the Braves just take two out of three from the Marlins to finish this homestand. If they do, it'd be a 6-3 homestand. And I think that a lot of people are saying, yes, they'd be okay, you just want to win the series, like you say, but you got to caution yourself in one regard. The Washington Nationals are hot on your heels right now.
Can't worry about that. We knew this was going to be the case. When they were talking about the Washington Nationals are hot, I said I had a feeling that this was probably going to come down to three teams. Looks like the Phillies, for the most part, have fallen back. But still, they're still a legitimate threat. Nationals are going to be there. So, you know, you knew it was going to come down to this. 30-some-odd games left in the season. You just got to stay the course. Do your job. Like I said, win more series than you lose, you'll still be in a good spot.
The Braves and Marlins, the Braves will send Dallas Keuchel to the mound at SunTrust Park to open this series. Hopefully we get a better result than we had just recently when we were down on the road down in Florida. We're darn near lost 3 out of 4 to the Marlins, and saving rally, of course. If you believe that the bullpen is fixed, is a hard thing to say, but is in a better spot than it was when you were down in Miami, then, yeah, I think you're looking at something. And the Braves did pick up Billy Hamilton off waivers. Billy Hamilton was a guy that used to drive us nuts because when he was with the Reds because he could run like the wind. I mean,
Billy, man,
Duke can flat fly. And the Braves say they're going to use him as a pinch runner and whatnot really kind of a starter. A gold glove defensive player in center field, and a guy that look at his steals over those 4 years in Cincinnati, 50s.
Yeah, 295 career stolen bases. It's the fifth most of any active player. Yeah, they do can play. You know, when you talk about the injuries that you've had in outfield for you, it's a great pickup for the Braves. Probably a good pickup for him as well, you know, get to come to a contender, you know, and contribute in that sense.
Yep, right, exactly, for Billy Hamilton. And this just sort of says to us that Austin Riley and Ender Inciarte are both still a ways away from being ready for this team. Among the other stories that are going on right now, the Little League World Series is going on, as you may know. And every year when the Little League World Series goes on, there's always kind of some story. And this year it became about the Little League World Series and its mercy rule. Now, the Little League World Series used to not have a mercy rule, and there were times back in the 70s and 80s that I'm not going to say that Taiwan was cheating you, but suddenly you would have a team from Taiwan come in here and start beating teams 28-0 and 23-1, and, you know, they were just killing us. But the Little League World Series saw this going on and decided to institute this mercy rule, which says that if you're ahead by 15 runs after 3 innings or by 10 runs or more after 4 innings, the game is over. And we're not going to allow these things to become 28-1 or whatever they were becoming. That's fine for Little League World Series. And if you're, you know, a coach of a young team and a parent, you understand, I think, the message. I mean, if we're talking about youngsters,
saving their little feelings, right? Don't want them to, you know, be traumatized from taking that beat down like that. Yeah.
I know that when my daughter played soccer at Alatoona, there was a rule about a 10-goal rule. You know, just to stop things, you know, because we're getting out of hand. Well, the question now floated out with this talk of the Little League World Series and its mercy rule, whether they should have it in pro sports. And Aaron Boone, the manager of the New York Yankees, jumped into this fray. And we want to know if you agree with him. Here's what Aaron Boone had to say about the concept of a mercy rule in Major League Baseball.
I think there would be a lot of benefit to that. You know, I think you'd... you'd probably eliminate a lot of the, you know, unwritten rules of people running or swinging at 3-0 pitches in the quote-unquote wrong scores. It would just be like, hey, if you get to this point after seven innings or whatever.
I'm not following. What do you mean by you swinging at the wrong pitches or things like that? You mean trying to get back in the game or trying to press to get back in the game? Is that the purpose of him saying it like that, the mercy rule? I don't understand that. But I'll say this. I understand it in high school sports because sometimes, like, there are things that happen in high school sports. Teams are just outmatched by other teams that no matter what you do, you cannot beat them. Like, because, you know, physically or whatever. I understand that. Maybe even in college, maybe I give you that. Just a little bit, because, you know, you have these Power 5 teams play these little sisters of the poor sometimes, and it just gets ugly. And then sometimes you have, you know, like Appalachian States of the world that do the upset thing. But in the pros, no, I don't think so. There's too many examples. There's an example a few nights ago of the Braves and the Mets. When the Braves came back, it was like 10-8 or something. It started out with like 3-0 or something crazy. I forgot the actual score, but my point is this. The Braves started to rally. In the ninth, just ran out of time. There's plenty of examples in football. I think one was it the Jets and the Dolphins playing one year? And the Dolphins were losing like 40-0 or something crazy like that. And they came back and they won the game. So I don't think in the pros that rule applies because, number one, there's supposed to be a lot of parity at this level. And, you know, to be honest, I think the only thing that separates you – I mean, there's talent, obviously, on some teams more than others, but that want to is strong sometimes with teams. So, no, I don't think that would work on the professional level like it does in the high school and the college level.
You know, this might surprise you. I looked it up. The biggest comeback in the history of Major League Baseball from the biggest deficit, stop and think for a second. Without looking it up, and of course, if you're driving, you can't. I would hope not. What is the biggest deficit anybody's ever come from behind in Major League Baseball history to win a game? It's not as big as you think. The answer is 12 runs. And it happened last. It's only happened three times. It happened last in 2001 when Seattle was leading Cleveland 14-2 in the seventh inning, and Cleveland rallied to win the game 15-14. But it's only 12 runs. I thought it would have been more than that, but it's only 12 runs. And so I don't know. I mean, a mercy rule in Major League Baseball, I can't quite see that. Can you? But there have been a lot of routes this year. And because of the nature of the game, Hugh, with all the offense, we've seen some real blowouts this year, 23-5. And, I mean, eight home run games.
13-0 last night, 13-0 by the Mets last night. I still think that, you know, as a professional, nah. If you take that beat down, that's on you. Mercy rule, nah. I'm not a fan of that one.
Brandon in Lindale, our old buddy, is joining us. 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line. And well, Brandon, should there be a mercy rule in professional sports?
Hell no. You're getting paid millions of dollars. If you're getting beat like that, you get paid to take that beating. And not only that, you deserve it. I mean, take a look. In college football, you'll see lines that are what sometimes 35, 38 points. But in the NFL, it don't matter how bad the Dolphins are when the Patriots come to town, you usually won't see a line more than, what, 4 or 5 points?
Yeah, it's rare to see double digits, right? Very rare.
Yeah, you never see that. That's because they know the talent out there on the field. It's really not that big of a swing from one side to the other. Most of the time it may be a quarterback, but no, you don't ever do that. I mean, in high school, they have a running clock. They don't cut the game off. But in the second half, the clock runs. My Rome Wolves, who were going to play Marietta Thursday night to open the Corky Kell up here, had Warner Robins 38-0 in the state championship 2 years ago. That was the fastest second half of a state championship I've ever seen. But you had to play the whole game.
Yeah,
and baseball,
right.
They ain't got no clock.
Yeah, they got, and that's exactly right. I appreciate that, Brandon. And by the way, that exists in college football too. You may not know this. But if both coaches agree in college football, major college football, Division I, if both coaches agree, they can have a running clock in the second half. It's happened. I was at a game I was doing in San Diego State. We were playing UTEP, and both coaches agreed to have a running clock in the second half.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the mercy rule. I'm just not. I mean, it's. I think it's kind of ridiculous to even think about it at that level. And I didn't even, you know, I wasn't even thinking about the money that's involved and the money that the people out there are making. Nah, I definitely wouldn't. That does not fly with me.
Yeah, and another thing I looked up was the biggest comeback in college football, because I was curious, Hugh, and it's not as big. Like I said, baseball is not as big as you think. 12 runs is the biggest comeback to ever win a game. Now, we're not talking about the biggest route. We're talking about the biggest deficit ever to come back and win a game. In college football, the biggest deficit ever to come back was only, and I was surprised by this, 35. And it happened in 2006. Northwestern was beating Michigan State 38-3 in the third quarter, and Michigan State rallied to win the game 41-38. That's the biggest deficit, 35. I would have thought it'd been more than that in college football, but that was the biggest deficit in college football, was 35. We're talking about mercy rules in sports. Here's another problem with the mercy rule in sports, Hugh. You have all of these guys who are, they have these players, like in baseball, who have all of these bonuses, you know, for so many plate appearances, for so many home runs, for so many RBIs. You start ending games early and stop people from getting plate appearances or chances to get RBIs and earning those bonuses, and I think the Players Association are going to come at you and say, we don't think so.
Yeah, it'll never happen. I can never see that happening. That is just one of those things where, you know, I understand, you know, you want to try to save some people. I didn't even understand the argument that Aaron Boone was giving, to be totally honest. But, nah, not at all. Mercy rule in professional sports, nah. Not at all.
Hey, you know, Orin the Sigma, Orin, our technical director, you might know this because somebody uses the Diamond Text Line, and Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line says, Georgia Bulldogs have run the clock in the second half in the not-so-distant memory, if he's not mistaken. I seem to think that that's the case, too. That wasn't there a game that Georgia ran the clock in the second half?
It shortened the fourth quarter last year with Austin
Peay. Yeah, that's what it was. It was Austin Peay last year.
It was hot, and they were winning 45-0.
Yeah. Right, 45-0 at the start of the fourth quarter, and they shortened it, yeah. John in Athens wants to weigh in on this. Should there be mercy rules in professional sports, John? I mean, we know we see it in college. Should they do it in the pros?
No, man, like, I agree with the caller before. These guys are professional. They get paid millions of dollars, and if you're taking that butt-whooping, you just got to take it like a man. And like you said before, you've seen it so many times where a team could be up big in professional sports, and they just come back and, you know, win the game late. You know, I understand that for kids, you got to protect the little kids' feelings and keep their confidence up. But, you know, professional sports, you get paid $1 million, take that butt whooping like a man and come back better.
Yeah, right.
I would even say it for the kids. Suck it up, little Jimmy. Play better. Go to the weight room. Get right. Do what you got to do. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
But I understand you want to do it. But
it's some moms out there that would never let me coach their football team ever.
But, yeah, you know, as a parent, you know, I mean, I saw it too. I mean, there were times where you would just get a game when you were talking about 7, 8, 9-year-old kids, maybe 10, where one team just so outclassed the other. And it just was not even – it wasn't fun. It wasn't good for – even the team that was winning, it wasn't good. It got to be such a joke. My daughter was involved in some of those soccer games where suddenly it was, you know, 10 to nothing in the first 10 minutes of the game, and the other team couldn't stop you. And it just, Hugh, that's just not a good look for anybody, not even the team that's winning. It's not fun.
Well, that's what I just said, John. I mean, you know, sometimes in high school, you're physically outclassed by somebody else. And I understand it there, but not on a professional level.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely understand it there because you have some teams that when you look at their lineups, like Chuckery liked to say, they look the part getting off the bus. And some teams don't. So I definitely understand it there. But even in that case, running clock is better than just calling the game.
We had this, remember, the Women's World Cup. The United States against Thailand. It was 3-0 at halftime, and the game ended 13-0. And Thailand just couldn't stop us. And you know, there were a lot of people that were mad about the United States celebrating goals. That got to be really more the meme than the 13-0 beatdown of that game. But, you know, it didn't get to be a mercy rule thing so much to – as it was just, you know, one team totally outclassing the other. Matt and Cumming. Matt, what do you make of this idea, the concept of Aaron Boone out there saying maybe we ought to start considering it in Major League Baseball that if one team is ahead by, you know, 15 runs or so, he didn't put a number on it, but, you know, if you're ahead 15-0 after 7, we just call this thing go home.
Yeah, I mean, forget about the players' side for a second. How about the fans that spend hundreds of dollars on these tickets now? I mean, I travel to a lot of these Falcons games, and I can't imagine flying across country to see two quarters of football, man.
Yeah, that'd be pretty hot behind that one.
Yeah, you got to get what you pay for. I mean, it would be crazy to go in there. But, I mean, and plus, from a fan's perspective, you want to see your team blow somebody out. I mean, it's fun to sit there and watch someone just pour it on them.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I guess if it's your team doing the pouring on, yes. If your team, I like this one. I coach U-12 girls soccer, and I don't care. I go for the kill every time. After the game, I shake hands, and then I am like, next. Well, yeah, I get that. But when you're on the other side of it, you've never been on the other side of it. That beat down, that's kind of tough to take. It's like, dude, back off the throttle a little. Yeah, we see all the mercy rule 28-3 texts. I see them. Okay, I get it.
I wasn't going to mention them. I was going to let that one ride.
Busy Tuesday, Braves. Maybe we get a mercy rule tonight against the Florida Marlins. You know, maybe do a 16-0 beatdown. Right now, a CBS Sports Minute.
If he starts news, this game is over. It is now final in the midst of our second lightning delay. This game has been declared final with 8:59 to go in the third period. We will not play that out. We will not play the fourth quarter. This game is a completed game. It is 55-0, so Florida State gets the shutout. They are now 2-0, and they open ACC play next week against Wake Forest.
That was back in 2012 when Florida State called its game against Savannah State. You'll get games that are called occasionally because of weather or because it is just getting so out of control. The de facto mercy rule, we were discussing, Aaron Boone of the Yankees came out. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Aaron Boone, manager of the Yankees, came out and said, got to consider a mercy rule in Major League Baseball. There's a de facto mercy rule that exists in football, in college football anyway, up to that level, up to major college football, that does not exist in the NFL at the moment, which is you just let the clock run, or in the case of college, you can just kind of like end the game. Georgia let the clock run against Austin Peay on short in the fourth quarter of that game. And so coaches can agree in college football. That's not the case in the NFL. But then again, in the NFL, we don't often have a case, Hugh, where somebody is ahead by 50 points. That's really rare in the NFL. Yeah. I mean, you don't get those 50-0
games. It's been games like it's been 30. I can't remember. Was it Miami, New York? But Miami had a great – was it on Monday Night Football or something like that? I think it was a night game. Can't remember the exact date. But I know Jason Taylor was playing, and Miami had an epic comeback. And that's the one game that I can think of that it happens. And, you know other games that escape my mind at this point, like that I thought about where there's been some epic comebacks that escape. But, yeah, it happens. So I don't think that you could actually do that in the pros.
You know, sometimes –
Well, that's what it was, the Monday Night Miracle, right? What was the score, Orrin the Signal? 40-37. No, they won 40-37, but they were down like 30 points or something crazy. Yeah, and the Jets came back and scored 30 points in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, it happens. That's crazy. Like, that's crazy, but that's the margin of error, or whatever you want to call it, the parity that the NFL has. Anything like that can happen any given Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, the Music City Miracle, right? Frank Reich and the Buffalo Bills. I mean, you have, you know, comebacks that do happen. College football, you know, fans, you know, will get certainly up and want to score 100. But the last team to score 100 in college football, if I'm not mistaken, is Houston. And that was a long time ago, back in the late 60s. I think they tried to score 100 a couple of times, but it doesn't happen very often. There was a basketball game in Montana. Okay, Hugh, I'm going to take you back to this. And I think parents can understand this point. When we get a texter and he texts in and he says, you know, he said, what about U-12 soccer? He said he's going for the jugular. See if I can find that again. I coach U-12 girls soccer and I don't care. I go for the kill every game. After the game, I shake hands and then I am like, next. I understand that. I understand you want to win and whatnot. And look, I'm no snowflake here. I'm no, oh, let's give them a participation trophy or something. But here's a basketball game in Montana 2 years ago. The final score was 102-0 in a high school girls basketball game.
Mm.
Hugh, I got to tell you, as a parent, there's something wrong with that.
Got to play better. See, that I think a part of that, like, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, you have to prepare your team better. They didn't score a basket. I mean, sometimes it happens. And I can hear little Amy's mom running out there on the court talking about this is ridiculous and mad about that because we all want to protect our kids. But sometimes I think you can protect your kids too much from the reality of life. I think, you know, that now you're about to get me on my soapbox. But I think that's the problem with most of the kids nowadays. We don't know how to handle adversity. So when it comes, instead of adjusting and working through it, we cry about it. And, you know, we go into a little shell and we do other stuff. I mean, I think that's ridiculous. Everything is not going to be easy. Everything is not going to work out your way. And in order to become, I think, a better human being, sometimes you got to work through those tough spots. You get your butt kicked out there, that's a learning experience. You learn from it, you go, you work harder, and you come back stronger for it. I mean, it's a basic concept. You know, you get beat down, you come back stronger. It's like lifting weights. I mean, you think about the basic concept of lifting weights is this. You go out there and you beat your body down to the point where you weaken it, but when you recover, you come back stronger. I mean, people don't know how to do that nowadays. We cry about everything. We cry about the fact that our kids are out there getting beat down, and the first thing we say, what is it teaching them? It's teaching them humility. And on the flip side of that, when you have kids that are out there beating down other kids, you need to preach to those kids. It's not going to always be like this. And you need to be humble when you go through something like that. Always remain humble, because you could be on the other side of that. That's the problem. That's the problem in a nutshell. Nobody knows how to handle adversity anymore. Because if it don't go our way, we kick the ball, we pull our ball and we take it home, or we're going to tell on somebody. Or something like that. I have a whole problem with that. So suck it up, Buttercup, and take this L and learn from it.
Yeah, so I think we're all kind of in agreement. When it comes to pro sports, that's one thing. I mean, these guys are paid millions of dollars, and if there were ever a game in the NFL that would end up the biggest route in NFL history, happened between the Bears and the Redskins. I know this for a fact without even looking it up, but it was like in the 1950s. And the score was 62-0, if I'm not mistaken, 62 or 63-0. So they don't really happen very often in the NFL.
Happens, I would ask you this. Okay, when it happens like that, team gets blown out, what is the record of the team? Well, what did they do the week after that? Did they get blown out again? Probably not. Probably came back and played a lot better. That's that's the point that I'm making. As bad as they looked that day, probably weren't that bad as for the rest of the season. Just had a bad day. It happens.
Yeah, but they've got this mercy rule, and the whole conversation starts with the Little League World Series has instituted. They don't call it a mercy rule; they call it a 10-run rule. If you're ahead by 15 runs or more in the third inning, you call the game. By 10 runs or more in the fourth inning, they call the game. Essentially, it's a mercy rule. And Aaron Boone, the manager of the Yankees, came out and said maybe we ought to consider one in Major League Baseball. But I don't know. I mean, in the pros, I think it's entirely different. There's a de facto mercy rule in college sports where coaches can agree to run a clock in any sport, but I don't know about the pros. Anthony at Peachtree Corners. Hey, Anthony.
Oh, hey, Joe. Good morning, John. Good morning, Hugh. How are y'all?
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, so I was at the Braves game when we routed the Phillies like 15-1 on Father's Day. And as a patron or as a customer of whatever sporting event, especially when it comes to NFL and Major League Baseball, you're expecting to have like a dollar value per hour of entertainment. You know, a 3-hour game, $50 ticket. Break it down. So if all of a sudden your team's up 15-1 in the fifth inning, and they say, "All right, pack it up, guys, go home," as a fan, I'd be a little irritated. I would feel like I didn't get my money's worth. I would feel they owe me a refund.
I mean, and you know what? You're well within your right to feel that way. I mean, I think so. I mean, if you're that bad, my coach used to say this all the time. If they're that bad, beat them because they're bad. And you have to better prepare. You have to better prepare. You know, these kids who have these mothers and fathers that run around and they're mad because little Timmy and little Julie out there and they're getting the butt kicked. Well, how about this? How about you take little Timmy and little Julie back to the lab, and you get their butts ready to play this next game instead of complaining about the outcome of the game? It's not going to always work out for you that way. Life doesn't work like that. No matter how much we try to control it and make it work in our favor, it doesn't always work like that.
Let me ask you a question. This high school basketball game in Montana 2 years ago that was 102-0, when it gets to be – you're the coach of the team with 102, okay? When it gets to be, say, third quarter and it's 70-0, do you start to pull your punches a little bit?
Well,
you
you tell them not to shoot. You tell them not to shoot threes. You tell them to dribble out the clock. You probably pull your starters and put other players in. That's not like if a coach is doing all that, it's not his fault that other team can't compete. It's not. And if I'm that other coach, I'm telling my kids to fight through this. Yeah, this is embarrassing, but this is a learning experience. Again, everything is not going to always work in your favor. How do you adjust to that? That's the biggest issue with kids now. They get adversity, they cry about it, they run. let me get off my soapbox a little bit. But they run to their mama. They run to the dad. And dad or mom coddles them. It's going to be okay. No, it's not. What do you need to do to get better? Get your butt out there and work a little bit harder. That's what it's all about. You get your butt kicked like that or you get knocked down, you dust yourself off, you work a little bit harder, and you go out there and you make it right. That's not the consensus nowadays. It's just too hard. Guess what? Life is hard. It's going to be like that. And there's going to be things in life that happen to you that mirror things that happen on the court, on the pitch, or other places, that if you go through those life lessons, if you go through that adversity, you can work your way out of it in real life situations. That's my thought about that. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, being on both ends of that mercy rule, you know, watching and coaching sports in my life, the message that when I was coaching basketball, we had a mercy rule, and I had a bad team, fifth and sixth grade boys one time, and we had a 30-point mercy rule, and we were getting beat 30-0. They called the game because the team wasn't any good. We just weren't any good. The boys got that message, and there was no reason to make the game 70-0. It was 30-0 at halftime, and we just said that's it, you know, because we couldn't score. We didn't have any players who could score. But it was sufficiently humiliating for these kids to be down 30-0 at halftime. You know, I agreed with. But in the pros, nah. Well, we get all caught up in everything that we like to talk about, and that means we miss stuff. That's where we get Tanedra to come in and fill us in on some of the blanks. She's got some fun stories to tell you next as Sweet Tea brings the tea as we continue the morning show from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
The tight formation. Fake to Martin, then a dump, and it is juggled and caught by Jumbo Elliott.
We always like to say a couple of times a week that we get caught up in all the headline stories and we miss some of the good fun stuff. Why we have Tanedra and Sweet Tea bringing the tea.
All righty, guys. So NASCAR dropped an awesome thanks for saving our legend gift over the weekend, donating tickets to the first responders at Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s plane crash. So, of course, Jr. was involved in that plane wreck last week where he, his wife, his daughter, and two pilots miraculously survived. I mean, if you saw the footage of it, it was scary just thinking about it.
Yeah, that was no joke.
Yeah, so that aircraft, of course, went down in Elizabethton, Tennessee. Everyone involved in the accident thanked the town's first responders for making sure they all got out okay. Mm-hmm. But as a present, NASCAR gave them tickets to Saturday night's Bass Pro Shops NRA night race at Bristol Motor Speedway. They all said they had a great time and gave a big thanks to NASCAR for giving not just them, but all the agencies that responded free tickets. Dale chimed in with a personal thank you note and also said that he was grateful for their quick response. And so far, of course, the cause of the accident hasn't yet been revealed. National Transportation Safety Board officials said last week they anticipate having that preliminary report out soon. But you got to love that there was a positive or even more of a light at the end of the tunnel. Obviously, having Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his family survive is amazing. But for them and NASCAR to be that generous to also say not only thank you to the first responders, but everyone involved, I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're still reflecting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
yeah,
that has to be a traumatic experience. My biggest question would be to Dale was like, are you ever going to fly again? I probably wouldn't get in the plane. No time soon would I get in an airplane. Everywhere I'm going, I would probably invest in a Winnebago and start mapping out like where I'm going to go. If I'm going to go somewhere that's in the country,
yeah,
I'm going to go ahead and drive. I'm going to go ahead and drive there.
Makes you think twice. So, Howard University is bringing back its golf team for the first time in decades with a big assist from Steph Curry. Curry announced Monday that he'll financially support the Bison's golf teams for the next 6 years.
Wow.
Howard is winning. Both the men's and women's teams are in place for 2020-2021. According to their AD, that's the most generous gift in the history of Howard. The team previously competed in golf at the D2 level, but hasn't done so since the 70s. So, of course, now they're in the search for coaches, potential players, and a course for practice and competitive rounds. Now, Curry became interested in helping to bring back these teams after meeting Howard Senior and golfer Otis Ferguson IV during a campus visit to watch a documentary film back in January. And he said, of course, the idea around recreating that team was born that night. Now, 8 months later, here we are. Curry, of course, played high school golf. Appears in amateur and celebrity golf outings and tournaments, hosts a mini golf TV show. I don't know if you guys have seen it. I've just seen it in passing called Holy Moly. So obviously,
wait, there's a mini golf TV show on?
Holy moly. It's actually pretty darn cool. It's corny, but it's cool. It's Steph Curry.
Like the clowns and stuff like
that.
Yes, that
whole
windmills
bit.
I didn't see this.
It's actually pretty pretty funny. So obviously he's got a good sense of humor. He is certainly an avid golfer, and
may have to watch that.
You should check it out. It's one of those ABC summer series or whatever of all those little goofy shows that, well, it's actually so corny, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, right. Didn't D-Leb go to? I think D-Leb went to Howard, right?
He sure did. He is a Bison, and his daughters are
HBCUs
also, and his wife.
HBCUs are making a comeback.
Yeah, they are Howard alum all day, every day.
Yeah, a lot of schools are starting to come up now at the HBCU department.
Yeah, so that is definitely
Howard's
exciting.
Like up in the D.C. area, is that right?
Yeah, yes. Howard is in D.C., yes. It is. So he said he felt honored just to play a part in bringing back that rich history from that school. And just on a lighter note, funny note, especially for those of us in Atlanta who have a Chick-fil-A on every corner, right?
I was wondering if you're going
to
do this.
I was going to go,
you of all people, right?
Yeah, because I texted Abe last night and I said, hey, I know that, you know, everyone's talked about it, right? But I haven't had a chance to weigh in on it. So I saw this note yesterday, John, that talked about Popeye's trolling Chick-fil-A. So reports on this new Popeye's chicken sandwich are amazing. Now, have you guys, John Hugh, have you guys had the sandwich?
I have not tried it yet, okay. But I keep hearing like rave reviews
on it, right? So last night as I'm, you know, kind of searching for what stories we're going to talk about today, I saw this piece about Popeye's trolling Twitter and that, you know, Chick-fil-A posted bun plus chicken plus pickles equals all the love for the original. And Popeye's response was, oh, y'all good?
Yeah, like y'all feeling some kind of way.
Right, like you're feeling some type of way. So I was then curious to know what's all the fuss about, because as I just mentioned in the last, I don't know, it was recently we were talking about food, and I'm always at Chick-fil-A, 3, 4, 5 days a week at Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. So I go yesterday to my first Popeye's number one, and there's literally a 15-minute wait.
Yeah, they've been
circled around the corner, right? So I was like, that I cannot do, especially because I had just come from the gym. So that just wasn't a good look. But I was curious. So then I go like 5 miles up. I'm off of 20. So I go a couple miles up. Popeye's number two says, oh, we actually ran out of chicken sandwiches. I'm like, it's 8:15 at night. You know, this is a big deal. How did you run out? She goes, no, ma'am, we didn't just run out. Like, we sold 200 sandwiches and we ran out hours ago. She said, like, yeah, hours
that's crazy.
Ago. So
that's
then crazy. I run up 20 even further to the number three, and they go, ma'am, we got the sandwich, but we got the chicken, but we ain't got no buns and we ain't got no pickles. What is this foolishness? What is this tomfoolery?
This is something like, this is almost at a fever pitch.
It's a little embarrassing. Right? I was so confused. A sandwich? A chicken sandwich?
There's lines around the corner. I would suggest that you probably need to go to one that's in a different neighborhood than the one that you're probably going
to. Yeah, clearly. Clearly, I wasn't. I was at the Popeye's rest of the people wanted to be as well.
I'm trying to clean it up. But
no, it's just all three of those were like right off the interstate, right? So that was the first mistake that I made, and it was off the interstate on 20. So Atlanta, you know what that means. So anyway,
go to Marietta or something.
They did tell me, right? They did tell me after I got there, the security guy leans over and he goes, "Ma'am, I think actually they do have the buns." So I was like, okay, well, I'll go ahead and take it. If it's just no pickles, no big deal. I'm sure I'll still get the essence of what the sandwich is about, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know, John Hugh. To me, it was just a sandwich.
You know what? But you were rushed, though. You didn't get a chance to enjoy it.
No, I did. Yes, I did. I had a 10-minute drive home with me and my chicken sandwich. After I had rolled up on my third Popeye's, I was like, yeah, I'm here for this.
Yeah.
It was just okay.
But you know what? Popeye's has stayed true to form. Like we said, like the service is still bad. It's still bad at Popeye's.
Yes.
But somebody said that means that the chicken sandwich is fire.
Right.
Since the service is so bad.
And I don't think it was fire. I just think that what did distinguish it from the Chick-fil-A sandwich is that it did feel like you were eating a piece of chicken on a bun, just meaning the crust was thicker, you know, the breading and everything. It just felt more like chicken, but I feel like taste-wise, I didn't see what the
And you know what the clutch is? It's open on Sunday.
Now, that's what might get them over the top, yes.
Jesus. Fix it, Jesus.
Yeah, chicken sandwich wars. Bojangles getting called out. Wendy's calling out Popeyes.
And they should. They should, John.
Bojangles dead ass wrong for that dry ass sandwich they put on the internet.
That is dreadful.
And Wendy's Twitter has been on fire as they light up everybody, you know?
Yes.
Hey, you can join 92 on the game. Speaking of chicken, the Southern Wings Showdown, no, not made out of buffaloes, right? Is this Sunday from 1 to 5 at the Fairmount in West Midtown. At the Fairmount in West Midtown, 1 to 5 Sunday, all-inclusive event, up to 30 unique wing flavors, craft beer, Southern Spirits, live music. Our events page on 92thegame.com has more of the Southern Wings Showdown Sunday, 1 to 5 at the Fairmount in West Midtown. NCAA just did something that involved Georgia Tech that has really me off. Did you drop that? Thank you. I bet that's how angry I am at the NCAA. And I'm going to vent a little bit next about what they did to Georgia Tech football that is just wrong, 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 wrong. Man, why I hate the NCAA. Next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.